Welcome to the Battle Cry Podcast with Convention of States Action President Mark Meckler. You can watch the original live broadcast Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Convention of States Facebook and Rumble channels.
Hey everyone, I am Mark Meckler. This is the Battle Cry. That means it's Sunday night, and thank you guys for being with me. I am in off of a long week on the road, so it is always refreshing to be at home here in Texas. We'll talk more about the road trip later on, but I want to start with just a piece of advice. And I think this is just generally a good piece of advice. Don't watch porn trials, right? Porn also, but don't watch porn trials. Like, that's what we've got going on here nationally. And I would argue pretty much that all the trials, the pending actions against Donald Trump are in a way what I would call porn trials. They are intended to titillate the American public. They are intended really, in essence, to affect an election by titillating the American public. Oh, Donald Trump has been indicted 975 times. Donald Trump, they're going to finally get him. Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit. Donald Trump in jail. That's what is being promoted by the mainstream media. And you will be happier, smarter, more well-balanced, better off, and yes, even better looking if you don't watch the porn trials. Just ignore them for the most part. I have to watch this kind of stuff because it's my job to understand and be involved in the news and talk about the news on the news about the news. It's kind of weird, but that's my job. And so I watch this stuff, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary today. I'm not going to do a deep dive because honestly, it's not worth spending the time, but I am going to give you a little bit of summary of what's going on in some of these trials. And since we started by calling them porn trials, we might as well start with the porn trial, and that is the Stormy Daniels trial. Oh, wait, it's not about Stormy Daniels, is it? It's really about President Donald Trump. And this is one of the most insane, probably the most insane trial going on out there. It is a soap opera. The judge, Juan Merchan, is clearly, radically, insanely biased against Donald Trump. This is the trial where they've imposed what I think is an unconstitutional gag order on Donald Trump. Everybody is attacking him. Right? Witnesses are attacking him. He's not allowed to speak back against it. I just can't imagine that this is going to stand up on appeal as this goes up on appeal. I think whatever happens out of this trial, if he's convicted, and I would have said a week ago, he was likely to be convicted. It's going so poorly for the prosecution right now that I think it's plausible that even a New York jury is not going to convict him. I don't know. I believe Merchan is biased. I believe, obviously, Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, is biased. I believe the White House has been involved in this from the beginning. I believe this is just an attempt to stop Donald Trump from being on the trail, running for president. This is what they're going to do. This is, by the way, election interference. So when we say that elections are rigged, this is the rigging of election. I understand we can talk about the votes and all that stuff, but when the media, when the state police, which is what we have here, police actions of the state, are involved in keeping a candidate off the trail, and keeping a candidate gagged so that he can't talk about that trial legally at threat of being fined or thrown in jail, that's election interference. That's what these guys are doing. So this week, it really turned into the Stormy Daniels trial because Stormy Daniels, who is allegedly the porn star to whom Donald Trump paid hush money to cover up an affair. That's what apparently this is about. It's not about Stormy Daniels, actually. It's not about any relationship or not between Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. It's about allegedly somehow this was campaign money, not hush money, or hush money is campaign. There's no crime here. Look, the FEC looked at this. The DOJ, they refused to prosecute this as an election crime. We don't really even know what the underlying crime is. This is simply Alvin Bragg trying to get attention and them trying to interfere in an election. This week, Stormy Daniels, the alleged paramour of Donald Trump, took the stand. It's important to remember Donald Trump has completely denied this affair. Whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. I have no idea, but I would say Stormy Daniels, not a credible witness. Clearly, she's been trying to make money off of Donald Trump one way or another since the day she met him. They admit to extorting Donald Trump. That's pretty outrageous. You could see Donald Trump's frustration in the courtroom. Stormy Daniels came in and she was allowed through her testimony to give all kinds assorted details about what she alleges is her relationship with Donald Trump. Also important to remember, she signed a letter several years back saying, never happened. No relationship with Donald Trump. No sex with Donald Trump. Now, she says she did have sex with Donald Trump. Each time, money involved, right? She could make money off of doing this. She admitted she hates Donald Trump. Bad look for a credible witness. She admitted she wants to see Donald Trump go to jail. Again, bad look for a credible witness. She is not a credible witness. You can see this, hear this in her testimony. And I think the most interesting moment in all of her testimony came at the end of her testimony when essentially the defense attorney for Donald Trump asked this question. Do you know anything about Donald Trump's business records? And Stormy Daniels said, no, why would I? Now, it's important to remember that this trial has nothing to do with Donald Trump having an affair with Stormy Daniels. It has actually nothing to do with whether Donald Trump, through his lawyers, paid money to Stormy Daniels, because that is admitted. The question is business records. Did he falsify business records to hide this payment in some way? That is a crime. I don't believe it's a crime, even if he did, but that's what the trial is about. And here you have a star witness where they spent two full days of cross-examination and I think 2 days of direct. She's in there and she says she has no idea, no information, no light to shed on the issue in the trial, which is, did Donald Trump somehow falsify business records in a way that's criminal? That right there should be criminal. The idea that Juan Merchan, the judge, would allow this in, would allow this testimony when it has absolutely no relevance to the charges at hand, it shows that this trial is nothing but a show trial intended to embarrass Donald Trump. And I think, I don't know, the Democrat operatives who are behind this believe that this is going to somehow pollute Donald Trump in a way that people won't vote for him. Well, first of all, I think Donald Trump is baked in the cake, as is Joe Biden. Everybody knows Joe Biden, doddering old fool with dementia, who's completely corrupt, who's made millions of dollars off of his political career by selling influence, whose son was a crack addict, a gun criminal, and engaged in picking up giant bags of cash from the Chinese, the Ukrainians, and everybody else. We all know that. We also now know that he's radically anti-Israel and that he's going to take the side of terrorists over Israelis, terrorists over American interests. So we know that about Joe Biden. And what we know about Donald Trump is, look, I think we all know he's not the most morally upright guy in the world. It appears he's had multiple affairs in his lifetime. He was caught on tape on the Access America or Access Hollywood tape saying some horrible stuff about women. Does anybody think that Donald Trump has been his entire life a clean actor, a moral actor when it comes to women? I think the answer is no. Everybody knows that. My point in saying that is not to bag on Donald Trump. It's to say it's all baked in. I don't think there's anybody watching this that's going to say, oh, wow, you know, I always thought Donald Trump was just this perfectly moral guy. Now that I know about this very credible Stormy Daniels character, some kind of porn star who says bad things about him, says she hates him, now I'm not going to vote for him because I'm all in with Stormy Daniels. It is literally just an attempt to sully the reputation, to anger the president, to frustrate Donald Trump, to keep him off the trail. And I think it's backfiring. And honestly, I think people like Merchan that allow this kind of stuff should be impeached, removed from the bench. I'd like to see a guy like this in jail. I think there should be criminal penalties when you pervert our system of justice like this. It's really outrageous. But I do think it's all backfiring. He's threatening to throw Trump in jail for violating his gag order. Can you imagine Trump in jail? Like he will be the most famous prisoner in the history of the world. There will be photos of this. I guarantee you they will allow him access to the media and he would be elected by the largest landslide in the history of the country, I believe, if they did that to him. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think Trump would take it. I think Trump would go to jail. And I think that would be a huge win for Donald Trump. It would show even further how much they're trying to gag him and keep him running for president. So that's the Stormy Daniels trial. Number two is the documents trial of Jack Smith. The wheels are coming off that trial. This is the one where they allege that Trump mishandled classified documents. And I would argue from just a pure legal perspective, this is the best case against Trump. And Trump had documents in his possession that were marked as classified. We could argue about whether he had authority to declassify them or not. He actually is on video telling people he had classified documents in his possession. that he couldn't declassify anymore. Now, when I say it's the best case, I mean just strictly statutorily might be the best case. Did Hillary Clinton do this? Oh, yeah. And much, much worse. Did Joe Biden do this? Yeah. And much, much worse. It is politically motivated. It's an attempt to rig an election. It's an attempt to attack a guy because he's running for president and they're afraid he's going to win the presidency. So again, this is more election rigging. And Jack Smith is pursuing this case, but this case has now been indefinitely put on hold. Why? Because it appears, a shock of shock, that the FBI has mishandled documents. The FBI laid out a bunch of documents, took a photo of those documents. Those documents had fake cover sheets placed on them. That photo was then released to the press. I should say leaked to the press. We don't know who. Again, all trying to set Trump up for the fall. And now it appears, through some very good lawyering and very good discovery work, it appears that the FBI has mishandled all these documents. They can't say that the documents that they scanned and gave to defense counsel are in the same order, in the same condition as they received them. They don't know how the boxes have been handled, and the case has been put on hold, and there's no trial set anymore. There's a political angle about this that I want to discuss, which is that I see some people, I saw a Gateway Pundit today, for example, a conservative website, saying that they're very angry now at Speaker Mike Johnson because he's not working to defund Jack Smith. Jack Smith is the lead prosecutor on this case, the special prosecutor, who, by the way, was appointed without any authority. I think the appointment was completely unconstitutional as well. Another problem with this case. So people are mad because Speaker Mike Johnson isn't working to defund the prosecution. Look, there is a very base level rule in politics, which is when your opponents are digging a hole, don't take away their shovel. In fact, give them another shovel if you possibly can. Help them to bury themselves. And right now, this case is falling apart. The American people see it happening. It's very frustrating to the electorate. People believe this is a bogus prosecution. Don't stop them from burying themselves. Let them try to continue to dig that hole deeper. I don't want to see this case defunded right now. And when people are attacking Mike Johnson for this, I think that is very misplaced. I would like to see this case drag on. I would like to see this case funded. It's a pittance compared to the rest of the national budget. It is falling apart. It's falling apart in the news. Everybody admits it. Even the left is frustrated by how poorly this case is being handled by the prosecution. That's a good thing. So you should count your blessings. Both of these cases are falling apart. Those are good things. The third case we're looking at right now is the stolen election trial. That's the Fannie Willis trial. And interestingly, again, this one also has flipped. Stormy Daniels was on trial. Jack Smith was on trial. And this one now has turned into Fannie Willis on trial. We all know that there was a hearing. The judge in the case determined either Fannie Willis had to go or her lover had to go, who she had hired, oh my gosh, at the tune of $600,000 or something, to prosecute this case, because he was not qualified to prosecute as an outside prosecutor. The guy was not even a prosecutor. And she got on the stand. You guys saw that several months ago, made a complete idiot of herself, embarrassed herself, humiliated herself. Sounded to me like she admitted to federal election law crimes. She was clearly biased. She was clearly compromised. And the judge's ruling gave her a choice. You're out or your lover is out. And they chose lover out. He resigned. Fannie Willis still in. Well, at this point, there's more and more stuff coming down on Fannie Willis. That trial now, an appeals court has said the ruling allowing her to stay in has been appealed by Trump and his attorneys and some other defendants in those cases. And the judge, that's now on hold because the appeals court has taken that appeal. I think it's inappropriate for her to stay in that case. She's complaining that she can't do her job anymore because this is all being held up. She's done some very bad things. She's being looked into by investigators over her conflicts of interest and the stuff that she's done. I predict in that trial in Fulton County, Georgia, it is more likely that Fannie Willis ends up losing her job and potentially in jail than Donald Trump. Three cases, all going Donald Trump's way, cards all falling his direction. It is rare in this country that I say this, but it looks like justice may be done. So I'm pretty happy about those. All right, so those are things that are sort of bad news, but also I think really good news going on. I try to bring you good news. You should be heartened by those things. You don't have to watch those trials. I'll keep you up to date on them. right, next is one that I think is also good and bad news together. And this is about the Boy Scouts of America. I'm a huge fan, historically, of the Boy Scouts of America. I never made it into the Boy Scouts. I wasn't smart enough, good enough. I didn't know what I was doing. I was a Cub Scout. I started there, but I quit before Boy Scouts. I didn't think it was much fun where I lived, and so I gave up on it. Probably should have stayed in. I've met around this country in so many boardrooms and so many high-level positions of authority, men that I really admire that are Eagle Scouts. They made it all the way through. They got their Eagle Scout badge. Super impressive to do that. If you don't know how hard that is to do, trust me, it's really hard. It takes a lot of dedication over a lot of years. You got to be really focused. Teaches a young man to be a leader. The reason that I think that I meet so many people in boardrooms, high-level positions who are Eagle Scouts, because it really trains people how to be leaders. I think, first of all, the young men that decide to go for Eagle Scout, decide to become an Eagle Scout, are young men of great character anyway. They generally come from families that support that kind of learning and striving and achieving. You know, my good friend Michael Quinn Sullivan, who runs Texas Scorecard, he's an Eagle Scout, special orders attached to that. Really incredible guy. And there's a lot of others that I know around the country that are Eagle Scouts. This is a proud and storied institution. This institution, unfortunately, over the last 20 years, has been gutted from the inside out. There's a blogger and somebody who posts on X who goes by the name of Iowa Hawk. And he has a saying that what the left likes to do is they like to kill an institution, gut it, wear it like a skin suit, and demand the respect that the institution once deserved. So kill it, gut it, wear it like a skin suit, and demand the respect that it once earned and deserved. And that's what's been done to the Boy Scouts of America. The Boy Scouts of America recently started to allow girls in. I think that changes the character of the Boy Scouts of America, but they went woke long before that. And they have destroyed this institution. They've taken the final step, the final stake in the heart. They will definitely now gut it and wear it like a skin suit and demand the respect. They now call it Scouting America. Not Boy Scouts, not Girl Scouts. Doesn't share the same values that it once shared. Those values have been watered down, gutted. They will demand the respect that the Boy Scouts of America have earned over its decades of longevity, but that is a dead institution. I recommend if you have young men in that institution, I would pull them out. I don't care what level they're at, and I would join other institutions. There are other institutions now out there working to replace scouting. They're way better. They're sticking to the values. They are gender specific. By the way, I'm just going to say something radically controversial. Boys and girls are different and they need different things. And I know there are girls who thought the Boy Scouts were cooler and better. Well, then work to make the Girl Scouts cooler and better and more fun, whatever you think you need to do. But don't work to destroy an institution like the Boy Scouts. That institution's overdone, out, boycott it, pull your kids out of it, find something better for them to do. There are alternative organizations out there. And if there aren't in your area, then I would recommend you go into your troop, get a bunch of the dads, get a bunch of the kids, pull them out, and form your own group. You know how the Scouts work. You have all the materials. You have everything you need to make that happen. You have the responsibility to protect your kids and not let them grow up inside woke organizations and be polluted by those organizations. The Boy Scouts of America, they've changed their name. They are dead. They are no more. Good news, the woke institution is going to be left by a bunch on the right who understand that they're dead now. Bad news, Boy Scouts were once a good organization. All right, next I want to talk about something that really frustrates me to have to talk about. I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't make a big deal out of it, but everybody knows my faith. I am a professing, bold, believing Christian, but I'm also Jewish. Both sides of my family are Jewish. I came to Christ at 51 years of age. I have to say, in my lifetime, as a self-identifying Jew, I have never seen anti-Semitism like this in the world. I mean, I've known anti-Semitism exists. I've heard people say anti-Semitic things. I usually don't worry about it. I just think they're idiots. And so whatever, there's always idiots. They're racist people. They're anti-Semitic people. Whatever they are, there are misogynists out there, whatever. All of these categories of people exist, but I've never really worried about it before. Well, at this point in American history, in world history, we have a radical rising tide of anti-Semitism out there. We're seeing it in all these people siding with Hamas and Hezbollah and the Palestinians. All these are people, remember, who broke through into Israel and slaughtered 1,200 Israelis, took Israelis hostage, took Americans hostage, and let's not sugarcoat it, not just slaughtered, raped to death Israeli women, raped to death. I want you to understand what that means. I don't mean raped them and then killed them. I mean raped them so brutally that they died from being repeatedly raped. Murdered babies, not just murdered babies. Let's just be clear what we're talking about. These are people who took babies and put them in ovens and turned on the ovens. These are people who took babies and lit them on fire in front of their parents. These are people who took women and raped them in front of their husbands and children before they killed or kidnapped the husbands and children, right? This is who we're dealing with. And by the way, they are still holding hostages, including American hostages. And we have our campuses all across the country today. We have people protesting, young people protesting in favor of those people. Look, if you're a young person and you're protesting in favor of those kind of people, if you're a parent of a young person protesting in favor of those kind of people, and you're solidarity with the Palestinians, well, then you are a terrorist. I'm not saying you're supporting terrorists. I want to be clear. You are a terrorist. If you have kids or grandkids that are doing this stuff and you control the finances that send them to those places, stop funding them. Stop funding them. Take them out of college. Make them pay for their own college, whatever they want to do. But this is evil. This is the same as if your children were supporting Hitler. There's no difference. These people actually, as bad as Hitler, they want to eradicate Jews from all over the earth. They want to wipe out the state of Israel. And it's even broader than that. They want to wipe out you because you're a Westerner. And they want to wipe out people in the West. They want to wipe out the United States of America. This is a religious war. And it is a war of civilizations, and it is now affecting entertainment at the highest level. You know, entertainment is the place we go to be away from all this stuff, to forget the troubles of the world. There's a contest called Eurovision taking place in Sweden right now, and one of the finalists in the contest is somebody from Israel, and her name is Eden Golan. She's a singer, beautiful young woman. I think she's 20 years old. And the violent protests against her in Sweden, by the way, by a lot of immigrants to Sweden who are just absolutely turning Sweden on its head, the rape crimes are at all-time highs, murders at all-time highs, violent crime at all-time highs from all of this immigration into Sweden, mostly from North Africa, North African Muslims, to be direct. They're protesting so violently against Eden Golan that she's been required, and her staff and her team, to stay in her hotel room under heavy security and not go out. There are over 100 police officers who are required to go with her when she goes to the contest hall. And in the hall, you have people chanting against her and booing against her because she's from Israel. You know, Israel, the only Western democracy in the Middle East, the only place where Arabs have the right to vote in the Middle East. They say that Jews are committing genocide against Palestinians, Palestinian population up literally thousands of percent. The Arab population in Israel since the birth of Israel up 153,000%. Literally crazy numbers. And you have people who are on the side of the genocidal maniacs. And this is now bleeding into entertainment. These people should be ashamed of themselves. We should call this out for what is not just anti-Semitism, it's anti-Westernism, it's anti-Christianity, it's anti-America. And if we don't get a handle on this, they're going to eat us from inside. They're going to destroy the United States from America from the inside. So you better be paying attention, and you better be speaking out against this on social media massively, to your friends and family massively, in your church massively. I don't care what these people say. I don't care what they try to do to me. Stuff that I get online by these people, I usually just block those people because they're so insane. But the comments that I get, the sleazy, disgusting, anti-Jewish comments that I get, anti-Semitic comments, you can't even believe what I get in social media. Go out and look at the comments about this stuff in social media. It will disgust you, and you realize Nazism is rising all over the world, and the people in the United States who are supporting this are terrorists and Nazis. There's no nuance. There's nothing like that. This is Nazism. This is terrorism, anti-Americanism, anti-Westernism, and you have to stand against it. And Israel may have to do that alone. Israel is entering Rafah, which they have to enter Rafah. This is the last holdout for Hamas. Israel must destroy Hamas. This is existential for them. By the way, the number of Israeli dead on that one day on October 7th, if you take it per capita, that would be 47,000 Americans killed in a single day. Something happened on a per capita basis in the United States. What do you think we would be doing if there was a mass terror attack and 47,000 Americans died? What would we be doing? Would we be wiping out the terrorists? I certainly hope so. Maybe not under Joe Biden. Maybe Joe Biden would be taking a knee and apologizing. Maybe he would be licking the hands that just murdered 47,000 people. But Israel, thank God, is doing what they have to do. And they're going into Rafah. They're going to wipe out Hamas. The end for Hamas is near. Biden now has committed absolute betrayal of the Israeli people, of the Israeli state. I would argue of America. Remember, American hostages are being held in Rafah right now. And Biden is threatening Israel to withhold the armaments that Israel needs to finish the job. This is really interesting too. The armaments that Israel is asking for are precision guided munitions, which will allow them to do the least amount of damage to civilians in civilian areas. And they're going to finish this job one way or the other. They're either going to use dumb bombs or smart bombs. And the smart bombs come from the US and the dumb bombs are in the Israeli stockpile. They have to use the dumb bombs because Biden's going to deprive them of the smart bombs that they need. Then that means that more civilians are going to die. And like so much of this, the blood will be on Joe Biden's hands. You know, and so you have Netanyahu basically saying to Joe Biden, pound sand. I think Joe Biden's response, what's said? Where am I? What's happening? Oh yeah, let the Jews die. I don't care. I mean, this is Biden goes out and he talks about remembering the Holocaust. There's a new Holocaust taking place. Right now, the Palestinians trying to wipe out Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, trying to wipe out the US. And Biden is standing for Iran, for Hamas, for Hezbollah, and against Israel and against the US and against our safety and security. And it is absolutely disgusting. You might be able to tell I'm a little bit worked up about this. I mean, I really think this is existential for the Western world. This is something you should pay attention to. I told you don't pay attention to the trials. Absolutely pay attention to this. This is really important. Now, last week, even though I stayed up with this stuff, which is kind of amazing, I had to stay up late. I was on the road for Convention of States. I was in South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and then South Dakota again. I did a loop around. I was with my good friend, my brother from another mother, Rick Green. We did the Wild West tour. We had packed houses in all of those places, Miles City, Gillette. I was all over the place. And last night was in Rapid City, the last night that I was there. It was crazy. And packed houses everywhere. And these are sparsely populated states. So when you can pack a room like that, it's absolutely incredible. We had Gene Bailey on Flashpoint, showed a picture of the packed room one night with me and Rick up in front. We were texting him from the front of the room because there's a bunch of Flashpoint Army people there. It was fantastic. I'm tired, but I told these guys I will come back. I understand we're working on Billings and a couple of other places. We're going to go back. I'm going to do another tour. Hopefully Rick's going to go with me. I'm going to go back. They told me I have to come back when it's real Wyoming and Montana and South Dakota weather. So we'll probably go back there sooner rather than later. But also again, November, December, I ain't afraid of the cold. And I love it there. I got to wear my cowboy hat and my boots, go back to kind of the clothes that make me comfortable, the people that I'm most comfortable with. I love it in those places. And we are going to pass the Convention of States resolution in South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, all of these states that should do it, conservative states. It's a few weird John Birch conservatives that are against it. By the way, the Birchers were at all of our meetings. They were embarrassed. They were humiliated. They slid out during the middle of the meetings in some of these places because they're on the side of the radical left on this issue. It's absolutely unbelievable. People who call themselves the most conservative, the only true conservatives, they're aligned with George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Russ Feingold, Howard Dean, La Raza, Planned Parenthood, all the communist baby-hating, America-hating, Nazi, Palestinian, Hamas-loving people in the world. The John Birch Society is aligned with them on this issue. I want to be really clear. I'm not saying John Birch is working with those people. They're not having secret meetings or anything like that. But they are perfectly aligned with them on this issue. If you've listened to the John Birch Society, you might want to ask them, well, why are you aligned with all these leftist groups on the issue of Convention of States? You shouldn't be. You should be embarrassed. So I'm tired from being on the road. I'm refreshed from being with all you folks out in the grassroots. Next week, by the way, I'm going to be in North Carolina for a rally at the Capitol. We are going to rally in Raleigh. That's cute, isn't it? Rally in Raleigh. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be doing next week. I'm super excited about that. Producer G will throw something up on the screen, giving you the details for the rally in Raleigh. Now we're going to do my favorite part. We're going to go to Q&A. This is the Ask Mark Anything segment. You can put your questions in. If you have questions, you can really ask me anything. I don't care. You go to conventionofstates.com/AskMark, conventionofstates.com/AskMark, and you can put your questions in. First question is from Zephyrsman. Where can we find more specific information about the amendments that the convention has? Not just scratching the surface type of info, but more deep information. Zephyrsman, we don't have that. And the reason is we're not proposing amendments. We're trying to call a convention around three subject matter areas. Anything that would put term limits on the Congress and the federal government, staffers, bureaucrats, and judges. We're talking about anything that would impose fiscal restraints like a balanced budget amendment or enforcing generally accepted accounting principles, tax caps, spending caps, and then finally anything that would limit the scope, power, and jurisdiction of the federal government. But we're not proposing amendments as an organization. And so there's lots of stuff out on the web if you want to go look at it. We may start hosting a place where people can post their proposed amendments. We've been talking about that for a while. Haven't gotten around to that, but that's a possibility. So, but I, more specifics than that, we don't have a deep dive on those specifics. Alex Gallimore said, if you could go back to 2013 when you co-founded Convention of States, what would you do different about COS strategies and how or why? What would I do different? You know, it's all hindsight, right? And so I would say I wouldn't do anything different, but I would hope for, this might sound crazy to you, more grassroots earlier. Because it's taken a long time to build the grassroots army. Part of it is just money. Like getting the word out there and letting people know costs money. You don't just get your message out there for free. So buying advertising in social media, maybe buying advertising on television, buying advertising on radio. And I still feel that way. If I could bring a bigger budget to the table, bigger budget allows us to spread the message more broadly. That creates more grassroots. More grassroots always means more success. So if we could have more money, more grassroots earlier and now, that's what I would wish for. If you're interested in donating, I'd appreciate it. Conventionofstates.com. And you can go to there. Producer G can put up the donate page here too. But you can go to conventionofstates.com, click on the donate button and give to us. Become a monthly donor. That's the stuff near and dear to my heart that helps us know that we have a budget on a go-forward basis. All right, there's a few things we need to talk about before we close out tonight. One is we have a texting program where you can become a texter and you can help us as we move forward in any given state and text message people who are in our database and help get them involved and activated. And so you can find out more about that at conventionofstates.com/texter. conventionofstates.com/texter. Now there was a contest around this. And in the first phase, you submitted, you guys, creative names for the character. And so we came up with Esther the Texter, Liberty Bell, and Thomas the Texter. So the next important part of this is we need the character's image. Like, what do they look like? And so we're going to tally the votes. You're going to get to vote on characters. And then we'll announce the name and image of the texting character. Remember, right now we've got things like Esther the Texter, Liberty Bell, and Thomas the Texter. Now it's time for what do they look like? What's the image we're going to use? So go to conventionofstates.com/texter and participate in that contest today. Number two, we have a new podcast we're starting. It's called the Grassroots Groundbreaker Podcast. This is hosted by my lifelong, very close friend, Mike Ruthenberg. He is our chief grassroots officer. And what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be interviewing everyday citizens that are incredible grassroots activists. We're going to be sharing their stories. What is it that made them do what they're doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? And what are they doing that is so successful that makes them a successful grassroots activist? The inaugural episode debuts on May 17th at conventionofstates.com/groundbreakers. conventionofstates.com/groundbreakers. And then finally, we have an interview that I did. I was interviewed by Cheryl Atkinson. This will be featured on all the major networks all over the country. Sinclair Broadcasting will be carrying it on all of their affiliate stations. And that will air this weekend. You can find exactly where you can find it and at what time by going to www.fullmeasure.news. That's www.fullmeasure.news. I can tell you it was a great sit down with Cheryl Atkinson. What an honor. She's actually a real journalist. There aren't that many of those out there. So you should support the show, not just because I'm on it, but because Cheryl Atkinson is an incredible American journalist and really, in my opinion, a treasure. The fact that she's still out there doing journalism is a benefit to the United States of America. So again, go to www.fullmeasure.news and you can look up the schedule for this weekend, see when it will end, on what outlet it will be broadcast in your area. So watch that. Let us know how it goes. Again, you can go to conventionstates.com, ask Mark, put in questions for next week. That means that's the end of the episode, and I will see you next week.
This has been the podcast version of The Battle Cry with Mark Meckler. Visit conventionofstates.com/pod to learn more. Thank you for listening.